Corrections. In the following episode, Kurt Cobain is said to return to Citrus College after 12 years. That is incorrect. Kurt Cobain is returning to Citrus after 10 years. Hey everybody, welcome to episode 3 of the Citrus College Clarion Podcast, where we cover the top headlines in the Clarion newspaper located at Citrus College. All stories discussed can be found on ccclarion.com. Today's episode is from issue 14 of the Clarion. I'm your host, Alex Lomeli, and I'm a freelancer for the Clarion. I am joined today by my returning co-host, Ryan Thompson.
How's it going, everyone? This is Ryan, and I'm web editor for the Clarion, and I'm glad to be back with all of you today. Today, we will be discussing the articles, Coaches Give 30-Year-Old Cabana a Shot, by staff reporter Zaina Cummins,
and Teachers Staff Rally Again to Call Attention to Demands for Fair Wages, by news editor Daniel Bardonner. We'll start with student-athlete Cabana.
30-year-old student Kurt Cobain joins the Citrus College sports team. Kurt Cobain is a returning student at Citrus who, after a 12-year gap, achieved his goal of returning to school and joining the Citrus College baseball team as an outfielder. Cobain is actually the oldest student to ever try out for the Owls. When he did attend Citrus 12 years ago, he actually played on the football team. While playing football, he got a scholarship to North Carolina AT&T, which is a Division I program. But the problem is that during his time at Citrus, before he was able to accept the scholarship and go there, he was deemed ineligible because of his grades. So that prevented him from continuing on and doing that. So that's really disappointing, but now he's back and he's playing sports at Citrus again.
And so why was it that he was gone for 12 years? Did the article cover that at all?
The article actually didn't really talk much about what he was doing during the 12 years, but now he has a wife and a family. So I'm sure during that time, he was just doing what most people do. They start their families and everything. Part of the reason why he came back is to change his career. So it's not like he just came back because he wanted to play baseball. Yeah. I'm sure that helped, but that wasn't the only reason. And what's really interesting is just the fact that he's 30 years old, yet playing with athletes that are maybe in their early 20s or even their late teens, and what sort of rules there are against that. And so I end up looking into it a little bit, and apparently the NJCAA, which is the Association for Junior College Athletics,
Okay. They
say that there is no age limit. There is no discrimination of any sort that can occur for eligibility. So whether it's race, creed, anything like that, it doesn't matter. You can still come back. The only real stipulation is that you can only play 2 years of any sport. So it seems like he only played 1 year of football at Citrus, and so he has one more year of eligibility left. Well, he did have 1 year of eligibility left, and he used that this past season. So it doesn't seem like he'll be able to play next year, sadly.
Right. I mean, that would be kind of silly, though, because you're gone for so long, and they still have your records,
Yeah. But
you're almost a new student again.
Right.
So I don't know, that would be kind of unfair, in my opinion, to not let him continue again.
Yeah.
But I mean, if the record is there and that's how the rules go. But it is interesting that you pointed out that this eligibility clock,
Yeah. And
there really is no age limit, because if there was an age limit, it would be like a age discrimination.
True.
And that's already a problem in our society.
Yeah, so it's already a problem in the workforce. So.
Exactly.
In any sort of public sphere, it has to be applied, I guess.
And it kind of makes you think, too, could a 60-year-old be on the football team if he was qualified? If he had the skills, athletic ability,
right.
A 60-year-old could theoretically be on the Citrus College football team.
True. I mean, it's just like professional sports, I guess, where as long as you're capable, physically capable of playing the sport at a high level, go right ahead.
Right.
But it does bring up the thoughts of, is it dangerous to have someone that's older playing in a sport? Is there a higher chance of injury or anything like that? Is that more of a liability? I mean, it really does like bring up those points. But one of the things that I thought was interesting that Cabana talked about when he was interviewed is that baseball is serving as a motivating factor for him. By playing baseball, it's keeping him in line. And I've played sports all my life, and a lot of my coaches and teachers talked about that when you play a sport, it forces you to manage your time and kind of keeps you out of trouble to where you're either playing the sport or doing your homework. It's really helpful for that.
Yeah, and especially if you've been gone for quite a while, to kind of come back to a sport and have that discipline again, you know, yeah, to kind of get your bearings straight again, especially if you weren't in school for so long, I'm sure that's a good benefit.
Yeah, it's gotta help. His plans actually now are that he hopes to receive a scholarship. I don't know whether it's an athletic scholarship or an academic scholarship, but he wants to receive a scholarship to a college, any college. He actually didn't have a bad season. His batting stats were, he had a 318 batting average and he had 6 RBIs. I think that if he was able to come back and play again next year, he'd be able to increase those numbers, but it doesn't seem like that's going to be possible.
And what exactly are RBIs for people who are not familiar with baseball?
Yeah, RBIs are runs batted in. So basically, he got a hit and one of his teammates was able to score a run because of it.
No, I think it's really good that this student decided to come back, as long as it's not an unfair advantage with his manpower. Maybe some students are younger, but we'll see how that turns out. All right, let's move on to our next article. Citrus professors hold a second protest for higher wages. Several Citrus College professors on May 1st held a protest along Foothill Boulevard in response to their discontent with current wages. This is the second protest the professors did in response to wage increase negotiations, where the district offered a 2-1-1 wage increase. This offers a 2% increase the first year, followed by 1% increases each year. Several faculty associations have expressed concern and support of the cause to increase wages and were unhappy with the district's 2-1-1 proposal. So that's kind of a lot to take in at once.
Yeah.
So what happened was the teachers feel like they're being underpaid, Citrus College professors, and the Citrus College Faculty Association started beginning talks with the Board of Trustees.
So the association is kind of like the union that represents the teachers?
Right. So it's called the CCFA, which is a union for the Citrus College professors.
Okay.
And the faculty as well. And they decided there was a problem. They took the averages of other salaries from other community colleges like Mount SAC and found that mid-range, mid-tier professors that were there for about 10 years, had a mid-range pay, were getting paid more on average than Citrus College professors. They had that discrepancy about it. The CCFA was unhappy with the money that what the school was doing when they're putting it in a reserve fund.
Yeah.
And they want those funds to help increase their wages. It's also important to note that the administration at Citrus College gets paid significantly more. Some administrators get paid more than $200,000, while some professors get paid $70,000. So some professors are unhappy about the wage increase of the 2-1-1. So after the first protest, the Board of Trustees and the CCFA agreed to have a 5-3-2 incremental model, which increases across 3 years. They get their wage increased 5%, then the next year 3%, then the next year 2%. And it's a lot of negotiations going on, but still, it's still a 10% increase.
Yeah.
And on top of that, the professors already get medical insurance as well. It's definitely a good bundle. However, the faculty has expressed in the past that they want 15% in total of an increase instead of 10.
In my opinion, I think the increases, I feel like, are a really high percentage, because I've read that when you're in the workforce, that I forget the exact number, but I think it's only like 5 to 10% increase each year. So, I mean, that's still greater than what they're getting right now, and that's around or greater than what they're asking for. I think the problem is the starting pay for the professors. I think their starting pay should be much higher. Rather than trying to fix the increases, I think the starting pay should be higher, and those increases should happen. I think both of them should happen.
And then that's a good thing to point out, too, because some incoming professors may get paid really, really low. And I remember even at my high school, incoming teachers were only getting paid first year were almost $30,000, $40,000. You know, that's pretty low. And it kind of goes into this larger, bigger scenario where there have been a lot of teacher walkouts this past year in 2018.
True.
There were large teacher walkouts in Arizona, Oklahoma, and Colorado. And the teachers would walk out and that suspended entire education practice for that week.
Yeah.
And that definitely doesn't happen at Citrus College because their situation is smaller and it has to do more with the district. But it does bring up the question, are teachers an underpaid and undervalued profession? And I think it just comes back to, why are there so many teachers uneasy and unrest with their scenarios, with their wages? And according to an article at The Economist, the average American teacher earns less than 60% of what a similarly educated professional makes. So there's definitely those types of statistics to consider.
Yeah.
And just in inflation-adjusted terms, as the article states, teacher salaries have fallen by 1.6% over the past 2 decades. And this article came out on May 5th, about a week ago from today.
I think even another aspect of that, the fact that they're making less money than how you're saying other professionals in other fields. To become a professor, even at community college, you have to have your master's degree. And getting a master's degree is not cheap. So just the price of their education to get the job, to be qualified for it, is very expensive. And it's not like when you become a doctor and all of a sudden you're rewarded and you're getting paid a ton of money, you're going through this education and then you're really not getting much back. And it makes it that much harder to get by and survive on your wages when you're paying back that money. It has less incentive. I mean, you talk to people and a lot of people choose to not want to become a professor or a teacher just because of the wages, even if it's something they'd want to do.
But it is also suitable to point out that some master's degree programs can be paid for if you get scholarships for it and whatnot. So some schools will pay for it. But I see your point. The payoff might even last. It would take a while for you to even have a payoff because you paid for your higher education already. But I mean, some professors at Citrus College make above 100 grand plus medical benefits as well.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something to consider. But at the end of the day, there is a discrepancy to be handled with the government and teachers, and especially with the Citrus College Fund. And a lot of money is being allocated to things that some teachers are not even aware of yet.
Yeah.
So it's definitely an issue to consider.
Because I remember actually hearing it talked about a little bit about the Citrus College putting the money into that fund, and that fund is supposed to be to hire, 10 new professors and pay them for 30 years? It was something like that. So maybe the fund does have a purpose that's for the teachers, or the professors, but I don't think it's enough. I don't think they're going about it right. I think they should listen to the professors.
Right. And It could be argued that it does have a purpose, and especially since the 2008 recession, it does kind of, maybe that's the answer to why this money is being allocated, because there was a recession that affected Citrus College big time. There was a lot of overcrowding, you know, low understaff and whatnot. Anyways, I think that pretty much covers it for today. Thanks for listening again.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, guys.
That does it for this episode of the Citrus College Clarion Podcast. Again, you could find all articles we discussed on ccclarion.com. Do you know about something the Clarion should be covering? Email us contact@ccclarion.com. We'll see you next episode.